May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one that we worship this day. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our text is from Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible. Please pray with me. Lord, this day and always imprint upon our hearts, our minds, your holy word. Strengthen our faith. Increase our knowledge. Help us to concentrate and to spiritually digest your holy word for the benefit of our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you are in a conversation with someone and they talk on and on and on about themselves, about their job, about their achievements, their accomplishments, their family, their spouse, their kids, their money, their possessions, how do you react? You're bored, right? You're annoyed. Please be quiet, you're thinking to yourself. How can I get out of here and escape this person? There's only one person in the whole world whom we want to talk on and on and on about himself because he is so incredible. He is so great. We say, speak to us about yourself, and that one person is Jesus. On this last Sunday of the season of Easter, and as we look at the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, in this last chapter, Jesus says a lot about himself, and we're not bored or annoyed. We praise him. We want to hear more and more. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's our everything, isn't he? In this Revelation 22 text, he says at least two or three times, he's coming soon. I'm going to come back. I'm coming soon. No, don't be afraid. I'm coming soon. And then he mentions no less than 9 titles for himself. He calls himself all sorts of things in this final chapter. This final chapter of the Bible, Christ is lifted up to us, revealed to us again. What else we expect from God's word other than the great climax is about Jesus, the last chapter of the Bible. Can't preach about all of it, so today I'm going to focus on the words of Jesus where he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. With these great titles, these great words, I think our Lord is reminding us of some things as we close the Easter season, as he has ascended. He is teaching us where we can learn about him. He's ascended. How can I stay in contact with him? How can I be close to him who has ascended and now is invisible to me? He's also teaching us who he is again. Every reminder in the Bible about who Jesus is. Never forget who he is. And he's also teaching us what he has done for us and what he will do for us in these 6 great titles. First of all, I am the Alpha and the Omega. There's a lot in these words, but here I believe Christ precisely is reminding us of where we can have contact with him, where we can learn about him, where we can grow in him. And precisely, where is that? It's in his word. It's in the Bible. That we read and teach and preach, stay close to the Word. That's where you have Christ. That's where you have contact with Him. That's where you can be close to Him, in His Word. Alpha and Omega, of course, are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Alpha, Omega. And letters form words, and words form sentences, and sentences form paragraphs, and paragraphs make a book. And so by calling himself Alpha and Omega, perhaps he's teaching us that the letters, the words, the paragraphs, the books of the Bible, all the stories, they all point to him. The Old Testament says he's coming. It's all about Jesus. The New Testament says he's here. It's all about Jesus. From the Alpha, Genesis, to the Omega, Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. You want to be close to me? You want to learn of me? You want contact with me, the one who's ascended? Go to the Word. For it's all about Christ. He is the essence of Scripture. So we go to the Word to know him, to believe in him, to trust him, to love him, to follow him, to have a relationship with him. Not just to know a few facts about God, that we trust him in here by the Spirit's power. That we love him with all our heart, soul, and mind, that we follow him, that we have a relationship with him. Where do you find him? Not in some dream, not in some vision, not in the sky, a cloud in the sky, not on the TV set or on the golf course, but you get close to Christ as you come to his word and you hear it. And you learn it, study it, memorize it, and dig deep in it. Last Sunday was Mother's Day, of course, and I grilled out for Ann and the family and grilled some steak and some seafood. Also, we put asparagus on the grill. Anybody ever grilled asparagus? All right. First time for me, a little olive oil on it, salt. Ann loves asparagus. But guess what happened? I'm not a good griller. Some of the asparagus fell down into the grill. Fell down where the fire is and the grease and all the fire in there. So what was my attitude? Well, it's not steak, just let it go. It's asparagus, no big deal. What was Ann's attitude? Get that asparagus out of there. We got to save every last piece of asparagus. So I had to pull up the grill top and dig down there, and I burned my hand and everything else, getting the asparagus out. Dig deep, get every little piece of that, every stalk of that asparagus out. We will make every effort and dig deep for food, even for asparagus. But where is the effort of God's people to dig deep into the Word of God? A lot of us, like me with the steak, just settle for what's on the top. John 3:16. Know that one. I know the surface stuff of the Bible, which is important, by the way, very important. Jesus and the cross and the resurrection and baptism, all those things are wonderful to learn, but go deep. Go deep is the challenge. There's riches there, not asparagus there, but there's the riches of the treasures of Christ and the gospel that's deep in the Old Testament and in the New. Dig deep. As I've said before, Luther compared the Bible to the ocean. There's the beach where even the smallest child can wade and enjoy himself. But then there's the depths, and some of it we don't even know about yet. And so God's Word, we all like the beach, the shallow stuff, the simple stuff. We all can wade in that. We want the children to know that, and it's wonderful. But there's a time to go out into the deep and dig a little bit, and the Spirit reveals all sorts of treasure to us. This time next year, when we close up the school year, this time next year, when we come to Ascension and the Easter season, may we all be able to say, you know, I know a whole lot more about the Bible than I did last year at this time. I've read, I've studied, I've listened. I went to Bible class, Sunday school. I know a whole lot more. I've dug down deep for the treasure. Will that be you? He says, secondly, I am the first and the last. Here he's reminding us again as the Bible closes who he is. Jesus has a dual identity, if you will. He is the first. We understand that easy. He's the first. This means he's God. He's number one, and there is no number two because he's so great. We're all way down here compared to him. He is God. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. He's all-present. He's holy, just, eternal. He is number one. He is first. He is God. He is greater than the angels, the archangels, and all of heaven. He is greater than Abraham and Moses and David and Solomon and all the prophets, priests, and kings. He's greater than all of them by far. He is first God. But then stunningly, and here's the great gospel, he is also the last. When does someone who is number one want to be last? When you're first, you want to stay first. You don't want to become last. And yet in great love, he became the least. By last, he means he became a man, a little human being. He lay in a manger. There he's the least, the last. He was raised in Nazareth. There he's the least, the last. He died on Calvary's cross. Above all, there he's the last, the least of these, a nobody, the sinner. He suffers hell for us, condemnation for us. There he is the last. He dies on a cross. He who is first becomes last, so that we who are last might be first. He who is rich becomes poor, that we who are poor might become rich. What a God we have. Number one, but he becomes number 6 billion or 7 million, the least, as he dies for us. Now, I went on this trip with the 7th and 8th grade to Washington, D.C., filling in an emergency, and a great trip. One thing we did was go to Monticello, Jefferson's home place. Probably many of you have been there. And I've always been fascinated by Thomas Jefferson. He's kind of eccentric. And he was a great leader of America, of course. Third president and one of the main authors of the Declaration of Independence, started the University of Virginia. You know, a great man in many ways. But we learned on the tour something he did every day when he woke up. You know what he did every day when he woke up? This great man, pretty rich, had a nice mansion out there. First thing he did was to put his feet in a bucket of ice water. Here's this great guy, and the first thing he does is he gets up, no maids, no servants, running to him. He just sticks his feet in a bucket of ice water. He thought that would prevent colds and sickness from coming to him. Not even close to what the Son of God does in humility. The eternal Son of God who rules the heavens and the earth becomes a human being. He takes on human feet and human hands and a human body. And where do those feet end up? Those feet end up nailed to a cross along with the hands and a crown of thorns on the head and a spear in his side and a whip on his back. All for us, for our salvation. He says these words so we never forget it. Don't ever change the words in this prophecy. Don't ever forget who I am. I'm the first God who became last man. I'm king first, but I'm servant last. I'm Lord. I'm Lamb. I'm your life. And then he reminds us, lastly, of what he does for us and will ever do for us. As he says, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. When I think of Jesus being the beginning, I think of baptism. Very fitting to have Isaac's baptism. Here Christ is the beginning for Isaac. When Isaac came up here, we didn't give him a list of good things to do. Here's the Ten Commandments, Isaac. Here's all things you got to do. Now get with it, boy. You're already 3 months old. Get with it. Here's the law. Obey and earn your way up the ladder to God. No, we didn't do any of that. He's not capable, neither are you and I. Rather, Jesus was here. Not with a bunch of laws, but with his loving grace to wash away all the original sin and all his sins of the future all the way until he dies. And for you and I also when we were baptized. Christ gave him the beginning, new birth, new life, faith, washed, cleansed, redeemed. It all started right here for Isaac, a child of God. He's already way, way up there, God's child. But then also, Christ is not only the beginning, he's also the end. And the end is heaven. The end is the resurrection. The end is glory. During Easter, we've had all these wonderful readings from the book of Revelation. Hope you go home and read these things. They're just marvelous comfort. All that's there to show us the glory that awaits us. The end. And the end is glory. The end is resurrection. The end is the new Jerusalem. The end is the prize, the crown of life, the river of life, the tree of life. That's the end. Glory. So we're not afraid. We already know Isaac's ending. Heaven, eternal life. It's already guaranteed, his name written in heaven. You know, how many kids here, we're ending school this week. How many kids are terrified at the end of school? You're just, Josh, you terrified at the end of school? School's ending. Oh my. I'm crying every night. School's ending. What am I going to do? Any teachers that are crying today because of the end of school? Oh, my school, what am I going to do? School's ending. What am I going to do now? You're not afraid of the end because you know what the end brings. Summer vacation. Sleep. Maybe more sleep. And maybe a little bit more sleep for our teachers and mainly, but also for the kids. Swimming. Popsicle. Ice cream, and the ice cream truck coming down the road, and you get some money from mom and dad, right? A vacation, maybe Disney World, or the beach somewhere, or maybe just a park and a swing set. You know what the end brings, and it's wonderful, summer vacation. So we're not afraid, we look forward to it. And so the Christian is never afraid of the end, never afraid of death, because we know who's there at the end. Jesus is there at the end, he's the end. Glory. Resurrection, seeing my God face to face. New Jerusalem, gold streets, pearly gates. What's there to be afraid of? I know my end because Christ is there at the end, as he's there at the beginning and everywhere in the middle too. So as we look at the last chapter of the Bible on this last Sunday of the Easter season, Christ reminds us, where can we have contact with him? Where do we stay close in the Word? He's the Alpha, the Omega. It's all about him, the Word of God. Read it. He reminds us who he is. First, last, God, man, king, servant, all for our salvation.
and remind us what he has done for us, what he will do for us. The beginning, our baptism. The end, heaven. Praise be to Jesus for who he is, what he's done, what he will do. He is risen. He is risen again. Hallelujah. He has ascended. He has ascended indeed. Hallelujah. He will come again. He will come again indeed. Hallelujah. Let us rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confessed our faith in the